There's a note left and our daughter's gone.
And the Boulder Police Department's side was, hey, Ramsey's did it.
I'm not going to give up. That would be wrong. I want an answer to this primarily for the sake of my children and my grandchildren.
For 23 years, it is a crime that has gripped the world. A family tragedy, almost unthinkably terrible in both detail and consequence. The murder of JonBenet Ramsey shocked the world. She was murdered at just 6 years old, with the circumstances surrounding her death being nothing less than horrifying. The child beauty queen was found in the basement of her family home in Boulder, Colorado, 8 hours after she was reported missing. Her skull had been smashed and a garrote placed around her neck. It remains unclear which proved fatal, strangulation or the blow to her head.
Investigators who have been focusing on the family home of 6-year-old murder victim JonBenet Ramsey have now issued 2 search warrants.
I'm appalled that anyone would think that John or I would be involved in such a hideous, heinous crime.
Welcome to the killing of JonBenet Ramsey, the final suspects. I'm your host, Danielle Robay. In this special behind-the-scenes preview episode, you will be brought into the inner circle of the investigative team in a production meeting at the onset of the project. Along with JonBenet's father, brother, and close friends, our production team have attempted to find answers to the brutal murder of the young beauty queen, providing an unprecedented and extensive new investigation, all in the hope to finally solve one of the most enduring murder mysteries. The killing of JonBenet Ramsey, the final suspects, will delve into what is every parent's worst nightmare, something that you hope never happens to your child, especially in your own home, yet happened to the Ramseys 23 years ago, and still to this day, the murder is unsolved. Here we join executive producers Dylan Howard and Matt Sprouse as they discuss the JonBenet case.
What are we going to do to try and establish some sort of finality, some sort of conclusion for John Ramsey and his family?
I think what's exciting about this podcast is that we have this list that was left behind by the lead investigator in the case. His name was Lou Smith.
How did Lou Smith get to be involved in the case?
So Lou Smith was a retired police detective in Colorado, and he was brought out of retirement by the district attorney to help with the case early on. And when he died, he had this list of suspects that he had been going through for 2 decades, and he was able to cross off or rule out many of those suspects. But he had at least 10 suspects that he could never clear and that he was still pursuing. And now we have Lou's list, and we're going to use that list to go after the final suspects.
Of course, Lou Smith, before his death, vehemently believed that JonBenet Ramsey was killed by an intruder. And I guess that leads me to the point, many have suspected that John and Patsy Ramsey might have been responsible for the killing of their daughter. Obviously, I don't subscribe to that. I have covered this case for a decade, and a few weeks ago flew out to where John presently lives, in a small town in Utah. This is a man in his 70s who remains shattered by the circumstances of his daughter's death and how it came to be. And in some ways, he blames himself.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I was surprised within the first couple minutes I realized this guy didn't kill his daughter. He's not covering up for someone who killed his daughter. He's a guy who has been through hell and has found a way to continue living and continue to find answers for his daughter, who
quietly spending his own money on DNA testing of suspects that cross his mind. And we went through this list of suspects and he was blown away at the research that we had done. But he said something that was so heartbreaking. He said to me that JonBenet was killed because of him.
Yeah.
And he meant that he believed she was targeted or he was targeted because of circumstance in small town Boulder, Colorado, where he just sold his business to a significant company that obviously gave him millions and millions of dollars. So someone may have been jealous of his success.
Well, and it was a controversial company.
It was a controversial company and it was bought by Lockheed Martin.
Yes.
And it might have pissed off people to the point that they took out this heinous action.
Yeah, and that's the first time I had ever heard that theory, but it makes sense.
And he said to me, I live every day knowing that my daughter was killed, likely because of me. And that broke my heart.
Yep. Yeah. And I think you can see in his eyes that he's come to a peaceful place, but also a place where he, before he dies, I think he's 75, and he said before he dies, he needs to get these answers for his children and his grandchildren. He knows that it's too late to get justice in some ways for JonBenet because someone has gotten away with this for 23 years. But at least he can go to his grave knowing that he found answers for his family.
Matt, you have assembled the team. What are we going to find out? Who are these people? And what is their relevance to the case?
Sure. Well, let's start with Doug Longini. I think he's probably the most important point person we can bring in. He's an investigative reporter, worked with CBS for years. Doug Longini has produced more hours on this case than any other investigative reporter for TV. And so he is going to be our man on the ground. He knows everybody attached to this case, including the family. He has a trust, an institutional knowledge. I think it's important that we talk to him because he provides an insight like no one else.
Doug, thanks very much for joining us on this behind the scenes episode. Firstly, I want to ask you this. Why are we still fascinated with this case?
Because it's unsolved. Because there's still a large group of people who think that the parents are responsible for JonBenet's death or someone in the family. And there's another big group of people who think that an intruder broke into that home on Christmas evening and wrote a ransom note and killed a six-year-old girl. And it remains unsolved. And at the time, I think, maybe because of the beauty pageant videos, it went national. And back then, we didn't call it viral, but it went viral. And it remains viral.
This is a story that everyone thinks they know. But the killing of JonBenet, the final suspects, is a story they don't. Because we have access to Lou Smith's archives, essentially, we're going to be taking listeners into a whole new investigation. An investigation that has a very lofty goal in mind, and that is to try and solve this case. How important is Lou Smith's information?
It's critical. It's so important. I mean, this is the guy who, even on his deathbed, was telling family members names of suspects that he wanted checked out. He spent a good part of his latter years, both when he was working for the district attorney in Boulder, and then after he'd left there and was retired from any active police force, but continued to investigate this case and compiled a list of suspects, some pretty scary people on that list.
Can you tell us a little bit about how Lou's spreadsheet was organized?
It's just not random. He didn't write down his thoughts of how he organized it in any detail. But there are a lot of names on that list, a lot of names. And he prioritized it. And he also was looking at, had DNA been taken? Had they cooperated? Had anybody spoken to these people? Had anybody investigated these people? And a lot of time the answers was no. No one had spoken to these people. Not the DA's office, not the police department, not the Boulder police. And he prioritized the names on these lists, and we are looking at some of the top priorities on his list.
Unfortunately, in life, he ran out of time. We have the benefit of time. This list really is the key to cracking the case. Is it fair to say that the killer's name is almost certainly written on that spreadsheet?
I think it's fair to say that the killer's name is on that spreadsheet.
Thank you.
I love solving puzzles. That's what true crime is to me, after all, just one big puzzle. When I want to take a break from the dark stuff, though, I like to lighten up my puzzle time with Best Fiends. Best Fiends is a puzzle game where every level feels like uncovering a new layer in a story, one you get to take part in. I love that the game is challenging while not being frustrating. The best part for me is when I have to choose the fiends I want on my team for each level. I have to make sure I'm playing the best fiends possible based on their skill sets, and since every level is different, it requires me to choose wisely for every challenge. The more I play, the more fun it gets. Plus, you don't need the internet to play, so anytime I want a little entertainment, Best Fiends is my go-to. Best Fiends has thousands of levels already, with new levels, events, and characters added every month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips, and you can even play online. With over 100 million downloads and tons of 5-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must-play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
We are going to introduce you to another character who has been involved in this story from day one, really. And Doug, both you and I have our own interesting connections to this individual, an individual whose existence first began online under the pseudonym Jameson. What can you tell me about Jameson? Who is she, first of all, and why did she get involved in this case?
She is a housewife, a mother, lives in a southern state, and saw this story, and it hit her. I think it hit her for personal reasons, of which I don't really know all of. Immediately, she started blogging on this case, and people started to pay attention. She wondered if it was an intruder, or if it was the family members. Over time, she came to know Lou Smith and others involved in the investigation and believe that an intruder was responsible for it, and has over time collected a great deal of material. I think of her as the encyclopedia of this case.
Doug, what was your first initiation to her?
My first initiation was in 1998. She had been named by a professor at an Ivy League school as a possible suspect in the case. He had done some analysis of her writings and had come to the conclusion, the very, very, very wrong conclusion, that she was somehow a suspect in the case. And we learned of this as I was doing a series of stories on the case. And I met with her for the first time in 1998 in Boulder, Colorado, and she told me her story. And we did her story. Since then, I have used her as a resource over the years, time and time and time again. And I, too, have traveled to her hometown. And I, too, have sat either in her home or in a hotel room or the library of her town and looked at, listened to, and watched the things she's collected. And it's remarkable what she's collected.
So not only was she not the murderer, but she became, like you said, the encyclopedia. And Lou Smith would actually call her to fact check. Isn't that right? And John Ramsey still does.
Yeah. Over that time, you know, a blogger who's a bit anonymous at times, you wonder, right? I mean, are they straight? Are they bending things? Are they twisting facts to a certain advantage? She is a straight shooter. She's collected what she's collected from sources all over the country, and people send her things. It's remarkable what she gets in the mail. And she tells you about it. She trusts you. Lou Smith trusted her, and they engaged in numerous conversations over the years. And she visited him in Colorado, and he trusted her. He trusted her so much that he had this valuable list of suspects, and he gave her access to those, to his spreadsheet, and that's what we're working with.
Well, I think it is finally time to unmask Jameson. Let's give her a call.
Hello.
Jameson, so we know all the facts. The Ramseys have been accused of this murder. Burke Ramsey has been falsely accused of this murder. There was a witch hunt surrounding, in my view, John and Patsy Ramsey. But we're in a unique position now, Jameson. It's 2019, and we have access to new enhancements in technology. DNA is very important in this case. Why is it?
There's no innocent explanation for any foreign male DNA to be found on her body or on her clothes, under her nails, and especially not commingled with the blood spots from the sexual assault that were found in her panties. There's no innocent explanation for that DNA to be in any of those places. It does not belong to anybody in her family, which means that someone who sexually assaulted her that day left their DNA there. And it's important to find that person.
And it's also important to know that in 1996, not only was the technology barely available to properly test a murder scene or a suspect, but mistakes by the Boulder PD meant it simply wasn't used to its full capabilities. And now, with the advantage and enhancements of DNA technology that we saw with the Golden State Killer and how that unsolved case was solved, we're really in a unique position.
We're in a great position because we know that there's more DNA evidence that needs to be tested.
What still needs to be tested in this case for DNA?
Okay. Some of the items that were taken in as evidence were sent to Bodie, and they sent them back and didn't test them. And those items need to be brought back to the lab and retested using the better knowledge that we have.
How are we going to get access? But how are we going to get access to those?
Well, one way, we are not going to physically get a hold of these items, which could include the garrote. The handle that was used as on the garrote, which, of course, someone's hand was on, so why wouldn't you test that? We're not going to physically get a hold of that. But Lou Smith has a daughter, and that daughter, along with some of his former colleagues, are trying to get those items tested. They sit with the Boulder Police Department. They are trying to pressure the Boulder Police Department into doing the right thing and getting those critical items, critical pieces of evidence, tested.
But why were they not tested 20 years ago? That sounds crazy. It's a murder scene. They found enough DNA to know that someone outside of the family was there, and they have five more pieces of evidence that could have been tested, and they just didn't do it?
Oh, that's an easy answer. They know who did it. They'd gotten DNA back, and the Ramsey family didn't fit the foreign DNA that was in JonBenet's panties. Did that stop anybody from believing that the family did it?
No, and they hid that information from the district attorney's office. The Boulder Police Department got the report saying that DNA belonged to a foreign person, and they did not tell the district attorney's office. They did not tell Lou Smith. They did not tell anyone. They hid that secret for months and months and months. And to me, that's criminal in itself.
I understand back then when they were probably embarrassed, and they've already pointed the finger at the family, and they couldn't sort of un-go down that path. But it seems like now there would be a whole new group of people at the Boulder Police Department, at the DA's office.
Why that? Hang on a minute. Let me just say what everyone should be saying.
Right.
If Lou Smith's spreadsheet exists, why is the Boulder Police Department not doing what we're doing?
Yeah, we're podcast producers and we're left to do the research that they won't do.
They told me, number one, they have other cases, new cases, and vital cases that they feel they can do better work on, and that's their priority. Number two, the funding. They've spent so much money on the Ramsey case. They really don't have that much money. Three, they don't feel that they can properly ever get a conviction in this case. Even if they find an intruder, they're always, the intruder's lawyer's going to say, but they said the Ramseys did it. And so they don't feel that they'll be able to get a conviction. So why bother? The other thing that you need to note is the same people that have not solved this case in 22 years are the same people in charge. The same police that were there day one, day two, day 50, day 100 are still there in charge.
So they must have been like in their 20, like they must have just been starting their career back in 96, 97.
And this, you know, there hadn't been a murder in Boulder, Colorado of a kid like this. So they were foreign to how to deal with this type of crime.
A few days after the murder, they bring in John Andrew Ramsey. That was JonBenet's older brother. He was a sophomore at the University of Colorado at the time. They bring him into the Boulder Police Station. They put him in a room. And he is hoping that now the police are going to solve the murder of his sister. Two police officers come in. He's sitting in the chair. They sit down. They hand him their cards, their business cards, their police business cards. One card says auto theft. One card says narcotics. Neither of those cards say homicide. And he thinks, oh my God, what's going to happen? I think that
sums it up.
Story,
they had no idea what they were doing.
And the other thing in Boulder at the time is that people would be rotated into the appointment of being a detective. So everybody got a chance at the better hours and a little better pay, I guess. And it just happened to be Steve Thomas's turn to rotate into being a detective. And this was the first case he got and the only homicide that he had ever worked on.
Doug, you mentioned John Andrew a short time ago. I mentioned earlier that this podcast is in many ways a father and son's crusade in an attempt to try and find answers to the brutal murder of their daughter and sister. He is the lesser known brother in this case. Burke obviously seemingly has the higher profile as he was falsely accused. What can you tell me about John Andrew, why he's been in the background, and how you and Matt, and I want to ask Matt this, were able to convince him to participate in the killing of JonBenet, the final suspects?
Let me tell you what I know about John Andrew Ramsey. He grew up in Atlanta. He was a child born in John Ramsey's first marriage, and it was John Andrew and his older sister, Beth. John Ramsey's daughter, Beth, unfortunately died in an automobile accident in Michigan many, many years ago. So that left John Andrew and his mom in Atlanta when John Ramsey took a job in Boulder, and they were divorced by then. John Andrew decided, once he graduated from high school, to go to the University of Colorado in Boulder, and did go there. So he was living in Boulder when all of this happened, as a sophomore at the University of Colorado. And as I said, he expected the police to do their job. He understood that a family is often an early suspect in the case, which is, everyone knows, is what happens. And he knew that would happen, but he knew that his family hadn't done anything wrong, had not killed a family member, and he expected the police to do the right thing. He stayed, however, in the background. John Andrew is not the only sibling of the Ramsey family suffering from this tragedy.
He had a sister. He had two older sisters, Beth, who died in a car accident, and Melinda. Melinda had a boyfriend, Stuart, and she had spent that Christmas Eve and everything with Stuart in Atlanta. she and John Andrew were headed to have Christmas. Now she's since married Stuart and has a family. And to protect her children, who do not have the Ramsey name, she has remained quiet. I mean, she has suffered. She has heard enough. She lost her baby sister. She watched her father and stepmother accused. She is hurt and she has remained quiet. But John Andrew has decided now it's time to come out.
When I met with him the first time, he was almost apologetic to even think that he could have a voice in this story. He said for years he's always thought of this as a tragedy that happened to JonBenet, but then secondly to Patsy and John and Burke. And he felt like he was outside of that circle. And I think it's taken him this long to realize that his voice may be the most important voice now, because he was JonBenet's brother and he does want to see the truth come out. And he's just far enough removed that he doesn't have, or it can't be perceived that he has an agenda other than finding who killed his sister.
It's been more than two decades of hell for John Andrew Ramsey. His participation in this podcast proves one thing. This is not a retelling of a very tragic and sad story. It is, as we promised to John and John Andrew, an active investigation of the case. Not only that, we're very confident that this will be the most comprehensive investigation conducted since the flawed investigation from the Boulder PD. Now, team, when I want no stone unturned or no lead unfollowed, I personally talk to one man, Montero. Doug Montero is the best investigator that I know. Montero has agreed to participate in this and is a veteran reporter here in the New York newspaper scene. Montero, what do we need to do?
As part of this investigation, we need to physically track some of these suspects down, get in their faces, and confront them and see if during heated questioning that they at any point will provide us with some sort of an answer as to whether they are responsible for this young girl's death. And we need to get DNA from
them. How do you do that in the field? And by field, I mean out investigating the case.
The best way to do that is by conducting long hours of stakeouts, waiting for them to either drop a cigarette on the floor or throw a cup of coffee into the garbage can.
It's really undercover detective work.
You and I have talked, Montero, about not just the names of the suspects, but the categories they fall in. Like, they're part of the pageant scene, the beauty pageant scene. They were photographers. They did some of JonBenet's photography, other children's photography. And in that group, remember, what are the kinds of people we're finding? What are the crimes that some of these people have been accused of or convicted of?
There is a pattern of behavior in a lot of these suspects that we're looking at. Particularly a few of them who were pageant photographers that have subsequently been arrested for some form of child pornography.
Okay, so Doug, what's our first step?
Our first step is to get on an airplane and go to Colorado, and specifically to go to Boulder and to check out, knock on doors, some of these suspects that are in Boulder. Some of these suspects are in other parts of Colorado, and knock on their doors and also speak to the Ramseys, to both John Ramsey and John Andrew Ramsey.
I must say, team, I think we're in a unique position here to find some answers. With Lou Smith's list of suspects, you all, the team that we've put together, the resources available to us and the advances in DNA technology, crucially for the Ramseys, we are going to be able to either rule in or rule out certain suspects. And that is a giant step forward in, I don't care what the Boulder PD says, a cold case, because they're not actively investigating it.
Right from the very beginning, when the FBI did get called, they said that A child of six doesn't make. How many enemies can a child of six have made?
The killing of JonBenet, the final suspects, is going to be part police procedural and part murder mystery. Each episode will be a real-life, real-time search for the truth. And no one will escape scrutiny as we attempt to put right one of the modern age's most monstrous wrongs. Join us and listen to The Killing of JonBenet, The Final Suspects, narrated by me, Danielle Robay, as we answer the enduring question, who killed JonBenet Ramsey? The Killing of JonBenet, The Final Suspects, is hosted by me, Danielle Robay. Executive produced by Dylan Howard and Matt Sprouse, and is a production of Broad and Water Studios and Endeavor Audio. Executive producers also include Tom Freestone, Doug Longini, Susan Bennett, James Robertson, and Andy Tillett. The series is written by Dominic Utten, reporting by Doug Montero. The series is mixed and engineered by Sean Kravitz and Sam Ada. There is so much more to this story, and you don't want to miss anything, I can assure you. Subscribe to The Killing of JonBenet, The Final Suspects, wherever you get podcasts.